Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information or to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture. Farm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Okay, well, the plot thickens because Clear, which is a product that is helpful for respiratory health, we've been talking about it for years, is now front and center in the current pandemic. That is the result of an EUA, an emergency use authorization, which is being petitioned for by today's guest, Nathan Jones. He's CEO of Clear. And Nate, you know, you say that you're in the midst of this. So what's the next step? I mean, so far, a lot of impediments have been thrown your way by FDA. There's a lot of foot dragging. They love the vaccines, not so much a nasal spray.
Well, I mean, I'm actually, you know, earlier on in the podcast, you said Operation Warp Speed, and I corrected you and said Operation Warp Spend. Mm-hmm. Because my biggest concern is that, you know, this Operation Warp Speed was kind of, in my opinion, it was kind of hijacked. Because it's the job of Operation Warp Speed was to find solutions, okay? Any solution to this COVID-19 disaster. Mm-hmm. And Operation Warp Spend has focused entirely on the vaccines and nothing else. Mm-hmm. And there are a number, there are like 15 to 20 different options out there that I think should be included. And they're just being excluded. Mm-hmm. And that's to the detriment of the American people who are paying for Operation Warp Spend.
But, you know, nothing else is new here because, you know, whenever there's a major crisis, health crisis, you know, even if there are, and I won't say natural solutions, but, you know, beneficial therapies that come, that are cheap, that are come from the natural realm, there's generally a bias against them. And, you know, again, we're not saying that this is the ultimate bulwark against COVID-19, you know, far from it. But, you know, we need a portfolio, a suite of strategies to help people. And also, you know, we need economical strategies because, and we need timely strategies because the vaccine may not be available for many months for a lot of people, and the pandemic is raging.
Well, not only that, but if you listen to what they're saying in the press releases and the limited amount of the data and the science that they have released, they're not claiming that the vaccines are going to prevent you from getting COVID. They're mm-hmm. they're saying that the vaccines are going to prevent you from getting severe COVID. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that you can still be a carrier mm-hmm. and not even know it.
No, there's no question.
Because now you're carrying it.
And yeah. To transmissibility, this isn't going to stop the pandemic cold. What it can do, though, is lessen the toll. You know, I think that's a modest proposition, you know, if it works.
And I 100% agree with what you just said. What I don't agree with is the way that it's being portrayed in the media, and that is that this is going to save all of us. And mm-hmm. and even by the pharmaceutical companies that are making these vaccines, by their own numbers, it's not going to solve it. Because what they're saying is that 70 to 80, I'll just say 75, but 75% of the people have to get it before you get this paradise of herd immunity. Mm-hmm. But yet children under the age of 16 can't get it. Pregnant women can't get it. Women that are breastfeeding can't get it. People that have autoimmune disorders can't get it. And by the time you add all those up, you're already at the 30%. And on top of that, you have all of the people that don't get their vaccines.
Right. And there will be refusements
that have already come out. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's going to be a major, you know.
I mean, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I get my flu shot every year. You know, whether or not it's effective or not is up for debate. But, you know, I do get it. My kids get it. And, you know, I'm lucky that I'm in the low risk category. So I'm going to have a year before I have to make the decision to get this one or not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's, I don't know.
I think it's the dilemma
to watch them talk about this in the media.
It's the dilemma of the natural products industry, I think, is that I think even worse, some of these natural solutions, and I'm not talking about, you know, the potential for Clear or xylitol, but things like, you know, the use of vitamins and supplements have actually been attacked by the powers that be as a form of quackery, as a way of deluding the public into that somehow if they take these things, that they'll get a false reassurance and that will deflect them from opting for more plausible solutions, they believe, like the vaccine or, you know, some of the medications they're coming up with. And, you know, and I'm an all of the above guy, you know, whatever works, you know, we need all the tools at hand and all hands on deck when it comes to dealing with this.
No, and I agree with you on 100%. I am not an anti-drug person. I'm not an anti-vaxxer person. You know, whatever we need to do to win and be healthy, that is what we should do.
So where are you at with this EUA? Because, I mean, this is a process. You know, there are deadlines. There's hearings. There's applications. Where is it going, and what are the prospects for you getting a fair hearing?
Well, that I do not know right now. I cannot answer that question. We filed it, and the FDA has come back and asked a couple of questions, like, you know, what are the list of ingredients and what does each ingredient do? But we do not know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. I think what they're going to do is they're probably going to slow walk it. That's for sure.
Well, they have 2 weeks to respond.
Okay.
And so we have to have we have to have something back from them by next Tuesday. Best case scenario is, you know, and I'm saying this because I think it's a moral issue, but best case scenario is they say, you know what, there's a bunch of research. There's like six or seven different studies showing that this may be effective at helping people that have this virus. Okay, because that's the bar. The bar is, in their own words, is may be effective. And if they really are looking at the best interests of the American people, then they're going to look at that and say, it may be effective. Okay, yes. During the course of this emergency, which, you know, we have an emergency, a state of emergency, you can go out and say, use this product to wash away the virus.
Mm-hmm. But I think you're familiar, Nate, with something called DSHEA, which is the Dietary Supplement Health Education Act. Now, your product kind of falls, it's neither fish nor fowl. It's a cosmetic product. So, but it's not
Correct.
A drug. So whenever you make a disease claim for something that's not an FDA-approved drug or vaccine, you can get into trouble with that because of the compromise that was worked out back in 1994, the Dietary Supplement Health Education Act. You can make functional claims. You can say, you know, Clear supports respiratory health. Pardon me?
No. We can't make those claims.
You can't, as a cosmetic, you can't even make those claims.
No, we can't even make those claims.
Okay.
We do not have a single product that falls under DSHEA. I wish we did.
Oh, okay.
But they don't.
Okay.
I wish. But nothing that you spray in your nose is considered a supplement.
Right. Okay. So it doesn't even fall under that designation.
Nope.
Okay. So,
But let me finish what I was saying, because
sure.
The worst case scenario is that they come back and say, well, you know, it may have some benefit, but, you know, we're going to make it a drug. And if, you know, you want to be able to make these claims during this emergency situation, then you're going to have to go do all these drug studies.
Right. So you could become a victim of your own success, which is extremely expensive. It costs, you know, some of the drugs that are approved routinely cost hundreds of millions of dollars to go through the approval process.
Well, that's beside the point, because the bigger point is that we can do all the research we want. And this is what we realized 20 years ago. We were funding research studies on ear infections and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And what we found out and realized is that even if we had piles and piles of research saying that using xylitol in a nasal spray, I mean, this
and there
is
are
not
some studies.
True.
And by the way, there are some studies. It's not hypothetical.
There are studies for that. But I'm saying this is a hypothetical thing. I want to make sure that everybody understands that. If we could show in 10 different studies that using one spray of clear in your nose prevented you from ever getting cancer, we would never be able to make that claim.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because xylitol is a food. It is not a drug.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It will never be considered a drug. And so we will never, even with all of the research, we will never be able to make those claims.
Mm.
And so, and that's the conundrum that we have, because our FDA does not have a category for foods, which xylitol is considered a food.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have a category for foods that act as drugs.
Right.
I mean, we can put on our packaging in Europe, use of this product will reduce upper respiratory infections by over 50%.
Right.
We can put on our packaging in Canada, use to this to treat ear infections and other upper. I mean, we can put labeling on our packaging like that, but we cannot do that here in the U.S. because xylitol is a food. It is not a drug.
And that's actually the same principle by which the manufacturers of Palm Wonderful got into trouble. I mean, there's no question that the antioxidants in Palm Wonderful, you know, they've done studies, have beneficial effects in health conditions. But when they started to talk about that, that's when the government unloaded a ton of bricks on them. And they had to withdraw the claims to make sort of general claims. All right. So wither clear in this current environment.
So we filed the UEA. We're waiting to hear back from the FDA on that. Worst case scenario is what they come back and say is, you know, you're a drug. If you go through and do these studies and this and get these, you know, all of this stuff that was done, but not, you know, that's a whole other story. But they can come back and say that. And at that point, if we want to proceed with that, then it's half of $1 billion to get all of that and years to get all of that stuff done.
That's no exaggeration. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Best case scenario is they said, hey, you know what? Our country is going to hell in a handbasket. In a handbasket.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead and use it, and let's see what it does. Because this this pandemic is, if the vaccines work, the pandemic's going to be over in a couple of months anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what we're doing to back that up is tomorrow we have it's called a citizen's petition that is going to be filed with the FDA. And then we're also, and that's just a bunch of doctors, you know, that write in and say, hey, you know what? We've been using this. We see great results. We think that you guys should allow other people to know about this, and you guys should be talking about it.
Hmm.
And then on Tuesday, on Monday, we're actually going to be filing that same paper with the CDC, asking them to start including nasal sprays, nasal hygiene, nasal irrigation in their recommendations. Because right now, what they're recommending for people is obviously social distance, wash your hands,
masking,
and wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and you can go back to your, you know, we can use a war analogy.
Yep.
But, you know, wearing a mask, you know, and I'll use the, you know, Band of Brothers or Longest Day, you know, analogy here to picture that, because most people have seen one of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have those big X things in the water, and that's really what, you know, washing your hands and wearing a mask, that's really what it's doing, is it's blocking the virus from coming to shore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We, right now, do not have anything from the time the virus gets to shore, there is nothing in our arsenal. There is nothing in our multi-pronged, layered defense that is going to do anything to that virus between that time and when it gets into Paris.
Once it gets to your nasal passages, game over, because it's going to take hold there, right? If it gets past the mask.
The next thing, and the next thing you do, you know, after that, what they're telling people to do is go home, self-isolate, and just hang out in your house and let that virus replicate like crazy in your nose without doing anything. And if you get sick enough, then show up to the hospital and we'll put you on a ventilator or we'll, you know, pump you full of remdesivir or some other drug.
Yeah, there is this concept that there is kind of two phases to COVID-19. One is just a regular kind of a cold, you know, where you have a lot of respiratory symptoms. It stays in your nasal passages and maybe get a sore throat, a headache, and you feel kind of under the weather. But then it's thought that for some people, for some reason, because of their vulnerability, that it propagates in the nasal passages. It takes a few days and then it kind of goes systemic. It gets into your bloodstream. It goes down into your lung passages. It literally can affect every organ of your body. And so the idea is, you know, maybe we can contain it in the nasal passages and keep it down to a dull roar, you know, make it more like a bad head cold. And a lot of, you know, patients do experience that way if they have a robust immune system.
You know, there's a paper out there, and I've spoken with the author a couple of times. His name is Anthony, and I don't know that I'm saying it right, Ching, but he's a Cameroon. He's from Cameroon in Africa, but he lives in France. And we've had a couple of discussions with him, but he actually wrote a paper describing the whole reason why what you just said is true. And the argument for him that he's making is that xylitol and D-xylose actually block the ability of the virus to adhere because all of these, and I don't have it right here in front of me, so I'm probably going to, you know, mess it up, but you have all of these little GAG, G-A-G, I think is what he was using. But you have all of these complexes, and in order for these nutrients and these things to get into the cell, you have to have the xylitol, because the xylitol is what leads that whole chain of stuff in, and it binds up on the receptor sites on the cells, which makes it so that the virus can't adhere to that. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, I guess at some level it may interfere with docking, you know, of the virus, because there's a lot about the virus finding a target and adhering to it. And, you know, I think that's also the idea behind the vaccine. The vaccine is not really against the virus. It's against the spike protein, which is the attachment hook that the virus uses to dock, you know, like kind of like, you know, in the space shuttle, you know, when there's a docking in space, the virus is docking onto cells. And maybe there's some interference with the receptors that the spike protein finds and adheres to. It's unclear what the mechanism might be. But, you know, look, let's suffice to say that nasal hygiene, you know, can be a plausible way of defending ourselves from pathogens. And, you know, this is notwithstanding the fact that I've been talking about CLEAR as a means of protecting people from infections way, way before the current pandemic. And so, you know, this new evidence, I think, is scintillating, but it really is kind of an outgrowth of the research that your dad did when he helped to demonstrate that ear infections can be prevented in kids when they get drops of xylitol infused into their noses.
Yeah, no, I think that's completely true. I think there's, you know, I think that the idea of nasal hygiene is it has to catch on, because, you know, and you can go back to Semmelweis, and we use this as a good example in a lot of what we talk to people, but you know, Ignaz Semmelweis, when he first wrote about hand washing in 1848, and he came out and said, hey, you know what, we as physicians, he was a doctor, but he says, we as physicians, we should wash our hands between our sick patients. And they were having a, go ahead.
You beware of that analogy, because he died in obscurity in an insane asylum.
Well,
so, you know.
Well, I know.
So be careful.
But I'm going to tell you why. Right. But he fought the good fight. But he wrote these papers, and the physicians came back and said, no, there's no way. No, that can't be. It can't be that easy. No. And they said, "What? Why is it doing it?" But he washed his hands, and there was an outbreak of puerperal. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, right. The childbirth.
Puerperal fever.
Yeah, right. You know.
Yeah. And the average for the people giving birth, their average death rate was 30%. He was washing his hands, and his patients, it was under 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And the other doctors, they ran him out of town. They said, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. We're not going to wash our hands. And they ran him out of town, and he died a broken man in an insane asylum.
Right. And so, and additionally, you know, what the common practice in those days was, they would go to the autopsy room, the dissection room, and perform autopsies. And then doctors in those days didn't wear white gowns for obvious reasons, because their hands were bloody. So they would just wipe their hands on their black gowns. They would wear black gowns, and they would just wipe them off on their, you know, their black gowns. It wouldn't show up the blood that much. And then they would go do internal exams on the women. And of course, the rest is history. You know, it's killed off a lot of women in agony due to puerperal fever. So, yeah.
Correct. So the analogy is, we need to, and then to finish that off, it wasn't for another 50 years before Joseph Lister said, hey, you know what, we should use antiseptics before we do surgery. And it wasn't until 1998 that our own government came out and said, and it was because of the AIDS and the Hep C crisis of the 90s, that our own government came out and said, and mandated that physicians and healthcare providers wash their hands or change their gloves between sick patients. 1998, 150 years later.
So let's wash our noses.
And what I'm hoping.
Let's wash our noses.
Yeah. What I'm hoping is that it doesn't take us 150 years to understand that washing our noses is just as important as washing our hands, if not more so.
Well, thanks for being so, you know, committed to this and for fighting the good fight. And, you know, if only as a rhetorical response to this current pandemic, I think you're getting your point across either way. So what are some of the options in terms of clear nasal spray? There's not just one. You know, there's sort of like, it's like classic Coke. There's like the original, and then there's, you know, hopefully not inferior iterations of it, but there's some additional iterations. And could you describe them, please, what the different options are for patients? Because a patient called me the other day.
Yes, there are.
A patient who had, by the way, she had COVID.
There are none.
Said, should I use clear? And I said, you know, I told her which product to steer towards, because she had nasal congestion.
Yeah. Well, so none of them are inferior. You have the classic Coke, I mean, the classic clear, which is just a regular clear that's been on the market for, you know, 21 years now.
Everyday use, preventive kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's a hygiene, everyday use. And then you have one that we came out with that if you know you're going to have allergies every April, every May, every September, you use it. It has capsaicin in it, which is a known natural antihistamine. And our goal is, we may not get you off all of the antihistamines and decongestants you're using during your allergies, but what we want to do is reduce the number of drugs you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we have another one that has oregano, tea tree, eucalyptus. And the story behind that is, I've been sick once in 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when they gave me antibiotics, and again, I'll tell people, don't ever do this at home.
Mm-hmm.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, took the amoxicillin they gave me, and I used it in a nasal spray, and I was better within 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I went back and I had our formulator. I said, find me some natural antimicrobials and let's put them in a nasal spray. So if you're feeling under the weather,
mm-hmm.
if you feel like you might need it, then just start using, and it's going to help knock down that bacterial load.
What's that one called?
In your upper airway. Rescue, Clear Rescue.
Okay, it's spelled Rescue or and R-E-S-Q?
Rescue.
Okay, Rescue.
No,
okay.
R-E-S-C-U-E, I think is how you spell Rescue.
Okay, no cutesy spelling. Okay.
Yeah, but no cutesy spelling. We don't even consider Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R. We don't consider that cutesy. We can consider it functional.
Okay.
It's Clear because it clears your nose, and the X is for xylitol.
Right. And, okay, so, there's also one that has chlorpheniferine in it, which is a decongestant. That's
No. There's one that has oxymetazoline.
Oxymetazoline. I'm sorry.
The chlorpheniramine is not available.
Okay.
So in the U.S., it's not available.
Okay.
There's other countries it's available, but not in the U.S.
Okay. So that would be if you're very congested for temporary use, not for daily use, but, you know, you could use it for a few days to get over a case of severe congestion, right?
Correct. That has oxymetazoline in it, which is a decongestant.
Okay.
It's the only product that we sell right now that is not, you know, 100% natural.
Right. So
it's only 99.95% natural.
Okay. All right. Well, look, you know, it's a valiant, if I got to say, a somewhat quixotic effort, because you're up against a major government bureaucracy that is, you know, frankly, in league with the pharmaceutical industry and the vaccine industry. And, you know, they have a lot more suasion than you do when it comes to an EUA, an emergency use authorization. But, you know, thanks for being so committed to further the health of the populace. I think it's an idealistic play on your part, because you want to extend the benefits of this product to people in a time of need. So congratulations to you. Good work.
Well, we think that people should have options. And there's a bunch of options out there. But right now, all you're seeing in the media is take the vaccine or die. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you're seeing in the media. And that's what our government is pushing. And that really is not a healthy or even an honest point of view.
Yeah, clearly we need a more nuanced approach. And we need a more all of the above approach, not to exclude some plausible alternatives such as you discussed. So thanks very much for joining us. Nathan Jones, CEO and founder of Clear, Inc. Find out more at clear.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I'm inviting you to browse my online supplement dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. My specially curated professional-grade supplements are fulfilled via the FullScript network. FullScript is the safest and most convenient way to purchase my medical-grade supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant, and offers world-class support. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free FullScript account. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.